life can hit you down, but you get back up every day and you make the magic happen.
Welcome back to the Jarcast. I'm your host, Flora Tyler.
And I'm Clay Kauser, and today we have Miss Moxie on.
Good morning. First of all, thank you for having me here at your podcast. A little bit about myself. I am Moxie. I'm originally from Jamaica. I have a loving family. I live here in the area. I recently moved here from the suburbs, and I'm enjoying the city life a lot.
What was your life like growing up in Jamaica?
Oh, my life in Jamaica. I think I had a pretty typical Jamaican childhood where we did a lot of playing outside. We always have sunshine, so, you know, that was our default, playing outside. Jamaica is very focused on schooling. So from the time you're 3 or 4, you're very focused on getting into the school of your choice. So you're constantly testing or practicing for some tests so that you can advance. We eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. We are typically a pretty healthy eating society. So that's what I remember growing up in Jamaica.
And I read Flora's memoir about you a couple years ago and said you're a big bookworm.
I am.
What are some of your favorite books from your childhood or now?
I read a lot of books. In fact, I saw a quote on a Barnes & Noble bag that books are the most constant of friends. I have lots of friends and I count books among my friends as well. I read the Bible a lot daily. It's a fascinating book. I read that over and over. I like Watership Down. That was one of my favorite books, Pride and Prejudice. I read a lot of nonfiction as well. Books on how to do something, books on mindset, you know, having a positive mindset, things like that. One of the books that I read a couple of years ago that I thought was like life-changing was how to slow down your life, how to appreciate things in a deeper, more fuller way. So those are the sort of things I like to read.
You mentioned your loving family. Mm-hmm. In what ways have they influenced your life, your mother, your father, or your family now?
Okay, let me see. My mother is one of the strongest women I know. She's very, very smart, way smarter than I am. And my mother has always been a source of constant strength. My father actually died when I was quite young, when I was almost 10 years old. But in those 10 years, I believe my father packed a lot of life and loving and lessons. He was funny. People loved it when he just walked in the room. Let me see what else. My siblings have always been very, very caring and very loving. So I have been blessed in that sense.
And how many siblings do you have?
I have two brothers and a sister. And yes, two brothers and one sister. And my sister is older than I am. And so is a brother, and have a younger brother.
Do they live in Jamaica?
They live all over. My sister lives in Canada. My brother lives in Jamaica. And my other brother lives in New York.
So how often do you all see each other?
We try to see each other at least once a year in some way, but we're in constant contact on the phone, and we all FaceTime, unbelievably, every Sunday afternoon.
Aww.
Yes, just to keep, you know, ourselves just really connected in some way, because we're very, very close.
Do you go back to Jamaica often, especially? Or do you wish to go back to Jamaica often?
I wish I could go like twice per year, but I average once every other year, I would say, unless there are special things I need to go back for, holidays or birthdays or celebrations, and then I do go back there.
Where did you attend college, and what kind of degrees did you get?
Sure. My first degree is my bachelor's, and I got that in chemistry and a minor in physics from the University of the West Indies in Jamaica. Then I got a master's in human resources when I lived out in sunny California from Golden Gate University. Then when I moved to Florida, I went to Nova Southeastern and got my educational specialist degree in elementary education.
That is a lot of degrees.
Yeah.
I love learning.
Which one of those was I mean, mm-hmm. I guess you did a lot of different stuff. What, mm-hmm. what kind of drew you to those different types of learning and types of education?
Well, I have always loved books. I love yeah. books. I love literature. History, I've grown to love more. But I've always had a fascination with how do things work? What made them come to be? And so it was a logical conclusion that chemistry, which forms a basis, a foundation of, you know, life and the periodic table and everything in the world is made from these elements right here. I found fascinating and learning more about them and the compounds that they can make. I just, that is right up my street, so to speak, yes.
Have you ever thought about teaching chemistry as just the subject?
I did. My very first job actually was when I was in my second year in college, and I persuaded the powers that be that I was a good fit to teach a high school chemistry summer course to high school seniors. So that was actually my first job, and I had such a wonderful time. I met really eager students, one of whom actually, her name was Catherine, and she was such a phenomenally kind, caring, eager student. She wasn't my best student, but she just stood out. And so I ended up naming my second daughter after her because I was just so impressed by her. And my second job was actually teaching chemistry as well. But I prefer what I do now, which is teaching sixth graders, okay. math and science.
And tell us a little about your children.
My children. My children are a constant source of joy to me. They are go-getters. They live out their passions in a way that is very inspirational to me. My first daughter is a lawyer, and she also lives out her passions through her work, but she has refound her love of art, and so she spends her free time painting these beautiful paintings, which I have on my wall. I keep threatening her, I'm going to do a show with just her paintings. My second daughter works in social media marketing and does a phenomenal job at that, and she's big into healthcare, and so she pursues her passions there. My third daughter works in the film and movie industry, and she's also such a source of inspiration. The job that she got, she applied for it right out of college, you know, so to speak, and she came home and said, "This job is way above me, but I saw it advertised and I thought to myself, when I watched Hamilton, they kept saying don't throw away your shot." She said, "I thought to myself, I'm not going to count myself out. I will let them count me out." And she applied and she got it. I'm like, wow, that would be me. Okay, when I grow up, you know. My son is also very outgoing and living his passions as well. They're pretty amazing people of whom I'm very, very proud.
Has there been a particular moment when you felt especially proud or grateful for them?
I would say just before COVID, I went to my son's school. He was participating in a track meet, and I had my hands filled with something, my jacket, my books or something. And I was walking across a parking lot and I didn't realize that there was a divider between the cars. And so I fell and I couldn't break my fall as I was going down, you know, and I thought, this is going to hurt. But as I was going down, I heard my daughter saying, Mom, are you okay? Are you okay? And in that moment, I just felt so loved. I thought, oh no, if something happens to me, my husband and children will be very, very upset. And it just, I don't know, it just made me feel loved. Just her saying that in that way embodied, I think, my life of love. And so, yeah, that stands out.
And what does your husband do?
My husband worked for years in pharmaceutical sales for Merck, and now he's a COO for a startup company, Functional Fluidics, that they do work with sickle cell anemia. Clearly, I'm still learning about what they do, and he's enjoying it very, very much. Mm-hmm.
And what prompted you to move to the U.S. from Jamaica?
Marriage. I got married to my wonderful husband, and here we are.
And what about from California to Florida to Georgia?
to Pennsylvania. Yes, my husband's job has taken us to different places.
Yeah.
And so I have enjoyed all the places where I have lived. I have made lovely friends,
mm-hmm.
some of whom I keep in contact with, but I'm not very good at constant contact, but I do try to stay in contact. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite place that you've lived in the U.S.?
In the U.S.? I would say Orlando.
Mm.
Because of its proximity to Disney, and I'm a huge Disney fan. Really, I truly am, and I've turned my kids into huge Disney fans as well. So Orlando, I like the climate, you know, there. I like the proximity to Disney and SeaWorld and everything else that's there.
And what brought you to Atlanta Classical Academy, in particular, when you moved to Georgia?
Sure. I was actually looking for a school for my niece. They were moving from New Jersey here, and I went online to find a school in Atlanta, and I saw Atlanta Classical. I thought, this is interesting, because I used to homeschool using the classical method.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this school seems like homeschool 7 days a week, you know, and I looked into it, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Do you have a favorite teacher that you've ever had, and what important lessons did you learn from her, and how did you learn to teach from
her? Well, I've had, I believe, a lot of really good teachers, inspiring teachers, but the one that stands out the most would be Miss Edwards, who's still teaching, and she was my literature and language teacher. And Miss Edwards made the books come alive. In her classroom, we did a lot of reading, and I really enjoyed throwing myself into Shakespeare and reading, and you know, Et tu, Brute. She made the books come alive in a way that just continued to foster my love of learning and literature. And she had a very easy style. You didn't feel as if she was teaching. It felt as if she was engaging you in a conversation about books and ways to think about books. And so Miss Edwards stands out.
And you model your sixth grade classroom around how she taught, with a lot of books and reading and introducing these kids into new literature and stuff like that?
Well, since I teach math and science, not so much.
But
I do try to make it more of a conversation about math and science. And I hope that that comes across, the fact that math and science are things, tools that we can use to enhance our lives in pretty significant ways, that these are things which are natural and necessary and sometimes fun to learn as well. So that's my hope, that they leave my classroom feeling a little bit better about math and science and having advanced their knowledge in some way and being led. I believe that my job as a teacher is to hold the door open. So I'm holding the door open and inviting you into the room of knowledge. And hopefully you go in there and you lose yourself there as you teach yourself as well.
ACA has a big humanities focus.
Mm-hmm.
How do you incorporate a classical education into the math and science?
I love the focus that we have. I think for me, I really hold to what we say. I will love the true.
Mm-hmm.
I will
do the good.
Do the good.
And love the beautiful.
Love the beautiful, I'm sorry. So that's what I do when I'm teaching, and I hold them to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that incorporates our classical, you know, style and our focus as well.
Is there any specific reason you chose sixth grade? Are there the type of age you like to teach specifically?
Yes. Apart from sixth grade, I think 12th grade is my other favorite grade. And 12th and 6th, they have a lot of similarities. I believe they're focused. They're very focused, easy to teach, eager to learn.
That's good.
I think, well, the 12th graders that I had, I don't know about this day, but yes. And so I do like sixth graders. They are easy to teach, easy to love as well. Yes.
Are there any parts of Jamaican culture that you've incorporated into your life in the U.S.?
Food is a big part of our Jamaican culture. And so I cook or buy a lot of Jamaican foods, and my kids have been exposed to that their entire lives, so they too can cook and they eat Jamaican food. In Jamaica, we love to dance, just dance, just for fun. And so we also dance a lot. Music is also a big part of our culture. So my kids have been exposed to a wide variety of musical styles and types. Let me see. Also, Jamaicans, for the most part, we don't take ourselves too seriously. Life is serious, of course, mm-hmm. but there's always something to smile about. There's always something humorous somewhere. And so I think that's a part of how I've tried to have my family dynamic operate within.
And I read again in her memoir mm-hmm. that your brother, when he was younger, I think, bought you a series of books, I believe.
Oh.
I can't remember exactly what the name was, but how did those books specifically kind of affect your life in a way?
Well, that's an interesting story. As I mentioned, my father died when I was almost 10, and that happened in June, just prior to my birthday. And that December, my older brother took it upon himself really to become the man of the family. Mm-hmm. And my brother saved his lunch money literally every day. I guess he took sandwiches. I wasn't paying keen attention back then, but he saved his money, and because he knew I loved to read. That December, my brother bought a boxed set of books for me. They were the Great Brain series by, I think, John Fitzgerald, and presented that to me. And that was the gift to beat all gifts, because I know that it required such a sacrifice on his part, and it was so thoughtfully done because I love to read. He did not, still does not, you know, but it was something that he knew I could take great pleasure from. And I read and reread those books and lost myself in them. And to this day, it still is one of the best gifts I have ever received in my life. And I have thanked him mm-hmm. for it and all the other ways in which he has made me and my siblings feel special.
What is the best gift that you think you've ever given your siblings?
I give my siblings a gift of time, which, you know, cannot be quantified. But really, I do believe I give them the gift of time. Mm. When I could be doing something else, I give them my time. I pay attention to what they're saying to me. I inquire as to their well-being, and I, you know, with their children as well. Our children are also very close, so I look out for their children as well. So when they come to me, I make sure that it's a seamless transition from their home to mine. So it's not, you know, something that you can touch, but it's my gift nevertheless.
And this is kind of just a personal question. Do you have mm-hmm. any hobbies aside from what we've talked about so far mm-hmm. that you like, or something special that you kind of, that's like your thing you like to do? Anything like that?
Apart from reading, I love going to, I guess, beautiful places. My children like to invite me to do different things with them. And one thing that we've started, we go to gardens. We've been to Gibbs Garden,
oh, yes.
Garden. I love that. So gardens are things I love to visit as well. And that's huge. I also love to watch sports. I don't play sports as much, but I love to watch sports, all kinds of sports. I think that's the Jamaican in me. If it's a sport, I will watch it. I will watch curling. If you're tossing stones, ooh, fascinating. Let me look at that sport. You know, so yes, I do love to watch sport. And recently, I've fallen back in love with Nebraska women's volleyball. Wow. Just wow.
Well, we talked about your sort of incorporation of Jamaican culture into mm-hmm. your American life. Is there any sort of parts of American culture that you think you've really brought into your life? And like, for one example, like, do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm. Yes, America has a lot of different things that the world copies.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Jamaica, we, you know, kind of celebrate Black Friday. It's like we don't have Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is a particularly apt holiday because you are thankful. You're thankful to God. You're thankful to the people around you. Let me see what else. Oh, 4th of July. Yes, I'm a huge 4th of July. I do a production. If you come to my home, prior to our food, I'll read a speech from somebody. If somebody is there who plays a piano, I will ask them, please let's play the anthem. So I love the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. And yeah, you name it, I will celebrate it.
In addition to the school being a classical school, yeah. Do you also love that it's a little bit smaller, maybe, that you can be more involved in kind of the fine arts and maybe the sports programs too? Do you like that aspect of this?
I do wish we had a larger gym, because I mentioned that sports, that's my thing. I would literally go to all the games here, but because they're so far away. But I do like the fact it is smaller. I get to know the students a bit, more like Flora. I know you, even though I've never taught you. I taught your brother, so I know you, and now I know Clegg as well, so it's lovely. And I like that at recess time, I am particularly blessed because I sit there and I have my sixth graders there, but I also have my seventh and eighth graders, my beloved seventh and my beloved eighth graders who I taught in the previous years, and they're all out there at the same time. And it's just a lovely feeling being surrounded by such wonderful kids. It really is. So in a larger school, no, I would not get that. I would, I taught you a couple of years ago and I never see you. Here, there's access to the students that you taught. And the siblings who you've never taught as well, you see them too. So yes.
What is the main takeaway that you want your students to take away from your class at the end of the year?
Learning is fun. Mm. You are to constantly grow your brain, to use that expression. Be in charge of your own learning. Don't depend on me for everything. Yes, I will teach you, but use it, extend it, think about what you know, what you were taught last year and the year before, and how it will impact you in the future. So I want them to take charge of their own learning and not, fully depend on me. So that's what I wanted to take away.
You said in Jamaica, at a very young age, you're kind of focused on learning and gaining knowledge. Do you think that would be very beneficial to our society in America around here, just starting very, very young? To not like forcing people to learn and all that stuff, but introducing them when they're pretty young to how they can, how knowledge is fun and how they can continue to grow that and gain knowledge.
Well, I should state as well that in Jamaica, there is that, of course, but there is a level of stress as well, because you have to take an exam when you are, I guess, in fifth grade, and that exam determines pretty much your life, which school you go to. All schools are available to you, but you have to test into the school. And so you spend from, first grade through fifth grade preparing for this end-all, be-all exam, Yes, I think we would benefit from some of that, just with a little less of the stressor in there. Yes.
So did you and your siblings, from a young age, you were kind of learning just to learn for this test to get into a specific school?
Yes, but we also had, the curriculum was pretty broad-based.
Yeah.
We read books, which I now know, are part of the core classical, model. So that was exciting to find out that, I didn't know I had a partially classical education,
Yeah.
So that was fun to find out as well. So yes, we didn't just learn. I mean, we had to focus on the test, but we're learning things that were broad based. Mm-hmm. We're learning about different cultures. We're learning about ancient writers. We're, reading, ancient texts, So I think it was pretty broadly based.
What were some of your favorite lessons that your mother taught you? And what were some of the things your mother was very interested in that she taught you as you grew up?
I think for one, love of learning, because my mother, I have said, she's really quite smart. My mother was a master teacher. She taught, and then later in her life, she taught teachers how to teach, because she taught at a teacher's college. So my mother can teach anything to anybody. I'm just saying, she's very brilliant. But one huge lesson, I mentioned that my father died, and my mother showed us resiliency, how to get yourself up every morning. She was a 30-odd-year-old woman with four children, ranging in age from 6 to 13. You know, she found herself there, and yet every morning she got herself up and she went to school to teach, and she came back home and dinner, but she still found time for fun. In fact, within I think a year of my father passing, my mother had saved enough money and decided, you know what, we need a trip. And my mother took us on a trip to Disney World. Just saying, hence my love for Disney. But just that life can be tough, but you can also have fun. And life can hit you down, but you get back up every day and you make the magic happen. You do what needs to be done. So that's like a life lesson that my mother taught us. Mm-hmm.
What was it like becoming a citizen of the U.S.?
Oh, fun. Let me see. I remember, because my husband, when we first got married, we were in the military. So I was inculcated into the American way of life, really concentrated. And I became a citizen several years later in Orlando. And I remember that feeling of pride that, yes, look at me, you know, I'm saying the pledge because I'm now a citizen of the United States. And I try to let my kids know that you are blessed. You're blessed to belong to one of the greatest nations in the world. And you're also blessed to have another country with which you are affiliated, that is Jamaica. But I try to let them know that you are blessed to be American. Yes, and all that that stands for, you know? Yeah.
Do you like that you had to kind of go through this citizen test and this kind of background and learning about the American way to become a citizen? Do you think that you like that you came from two different places? Do you think that helped kind of form your character in a way?
I do. I think coming from Jamaica, even though here in America I'm a minority, it's always in my head that I'm not really, because where I came from, I'm a majority. So I don't have a minority mindset, if that makes sense. So I think being Jamaican has helped me to fully take advantage of being American. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's interesting, yeah. That's
okay.
Yeah. If you could be any animal, what animal would you be?
That's a tough one. Because I fully love being human. But I would say I would be a bird, because being able to fly, the freedom of flight, is just tantalizing, being able to fly. Mm-hmm. But I have a suspicion that my family members would choose to be animals that would eat me. You know, so I didn't know, like lions and stuff. So I'm like, maybe I should choose lion. But no, birds. I would be a bird. Because of the freedom of soaring.
Do you have one person from history that you, one of your favorite people, or favorite figures from history that you think has influenced your life a lot?
Oh, I would say Jesus Christ has influenced my life in innumerable ways. Yes, absolutely. I study his life. I follow his teachings. So yes, I would say Jesus Christ has influenced my entire life. And will influence my future as well.
So have you been religious for your entire life?
Most of my life. That was occasioned by my sister after my father passed away, deciding within a year that she thought our family was becoming a little more wild than we should be. Just, you know, just life happens. And so we started going back to church. Mm-hmm. And she told my mom that we should all start going. So we picked back up on that habit as well. So my sister influenced us in going to church, and that we've never looked back since then. And my mother is also a hugely religious person as well. So, yeah.
Well, I like to end the interviews with a little question. It's, what's your best life advice for the listeners? And you've already said a ton of great advice anyways, but any little things to keep in mind that could help guide them through life?
I would say there's a saying that says, honor your father and your mother, and it will be well with you. That's advice I give to anyone. You know, if you think about it, because I listened to my mother and she listened to her parents and so on and so forth, your life is easier. You avoid pitfalls that you don't have to experience them. They've told you, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm not just saying that because I am a teacher and I'm supposed to say that. That's actually what I believe, you know, obey. Obey your parents, obey those who are in authority. It will rarely go wrong with you. That would be my life advice.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.